Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building. And facts of the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Filas?
Absent.
Dr. Lewis?
Here.
Mr. Matson?
Here.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Here.
Mr. McTiernan?
Present.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Here.
Ms. Stevens?
Here.
And Mr. Yeager?
Here.
Mr. Roberts?
What about Mr. Roberts, who's absent?
Oh, I'm sorry. I passed Mr. Roberts. That's right. Who's absent? We already have him as absent.
Okay. We have a quorum, right?
Yes.
Okay, let me run down the agenda briefly. New business, we have vouchers. Meeting minutes from February 25th have been distributed. Two resolutions to adopt IPP Solar Integration and 9 Main Street. And then we have two public hearings scheduled, Old 75, and they are here in the room, and DeSapio Real Estate.
They're here at the end of the hall.
Out in the hallway, right? So that's the lineup. Anyone have anything to add to the agenda? Seeing nothing, we'll start back at the top. The vouchers, it was a small stack, maybe just six this month. They all looked in order to me. So I will move that we approve payment of the vouchers. Can I have a second on that, please?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any nays or abstentions? There are none. Okay, the meeting minutes of February 25th were distributed. Eligible members, Matson, McCaffrey, McTiernan, Pfeffer, Roberts, and Yeager, and I didn't have any corrections for you. Denise, did you get anything from anyone else? Okay. No?
Fine.
Okay. Motion to approve the minutes as written, please.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
Okay. Denise, would you call the roll on that, please?
Mr. Matson?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
And Mr. Yeager?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. And Mr. Yeager, you recused yourself in part, right? I guess you can still approve them even though you were recused.
Yes.
To the extent that you were there. Okay.
He was recused on an application?
Yes.
He was recused on the extension of time for 9 Main Street.
For 9 Main Street, the extension.
Right, but if the minutes included that, you're better off just abstaining.
Okay.
All right. Well, call again, please.
Mr. Matson?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Mr. Yeager abstains, correct?
Yes, I did.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right, we have two resolutions, IPP Solar, and John, which version?
So IPP Solar is March 22nd, version 2. I have one little addition, but Mr. Diltz tells me that his partner, Mr. Kester, reviewed it and was fine with it, correct?
That's correct.
Yes, yeah. And I have an email for that.
Right.
Yeah.
And I forgot to put the application number on it, and Denise sent that to me today, which is the application number. Is,
oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. No, 2018
yeah.
Is online.
Right.
2018-07.
Okay. So with putting BOA-2018-07, which will make this version 3 with that one little change, this resolution is in order, and hopefully someone's going to make a motion to adopt it.
Motion to that effect. Let's say eligible members, McCaffrey, Matson, Yeager, Roberts, Pfeffer, and McTiernan.
I'll make the motion to adopt.
And a second?
Second.
Okay. Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Matson?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
And Mr. Yeager?
Yes.
Mr. Carey?
Okay, great. Thank you. And the last one is 9 Main Street Extension of Time Resolution 2019-03, and I have version 2.
Right, and this is going to become version 3 because we have to correct a couple typos. One is on page 3 in paragraph A1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines down. It says an increase in the number of prohibited residential units. It should just be an increase in the number of residential units. Strike prohibited. There's two minor typos on paragraph 4, just a punctuation thing. On page 5, relief granted, paragraph 2, subject to the conditions set forth below, the board hereby modifies. We get rid of the word grant. It says hereby grants modifies. It's modifies, cross out grants. And with that, this resolution's in order, and hopefully someone will make a motion to adopt it.
So eligible members, McCaffrey, Mattson, Pfeffer, and McTiernan. Roberts, who's not here. Motion.
I move approval.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Mattson?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
And Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay, thanks. Hey, John, it was nice job in on page 4, number 6, going into page 5. Kind of nice job succinctly summing up the pros and cons there without undue wordiness. So
thank you.
Good job on that.
A short resolution is what he's saying.
John, just stop it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're on to public hearing for Olds. Applicant is seeking a D1 use variance to receive, visually inspect, and photograph automobile types coming off a 3-year license to then sell them via internet at auction or another retail location. If the D1 variance is granted, there would be no change in the use or existing conditions on the property until such time a site plan application was made and approved on the property. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, everyone. My name's George Diltz. I'm the attorney for the applicant this evening. This involves Clinton Township Block 4.03, Lot 34.0, and also Lot 35. They're in the C2 commercial zone. I previously submitted proof of publication and notice. I assume that's all in order?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes and yes.
We've received two reports. Your engineer's initial report on completeness dated February 2019. Tom Brayan's report of March 20, 2019. I don't believe there are any other reports.
That's correct.
Very simply, and I need to correct a few things just so that everybody understands. This is a use variance, and because you do not allow any automobile business in your township, we were told we needed a variance. All they intend to do with this property, and that, in fact, they had been doing it until they found out it wasn't permitted, is to bring in approximately 100 cars per month by tractor trailer. They are taken off the trailers, lined up, staged, if you will. They're inspected by an independent inspector, and you'll hear all this from my witness. And within 30 days or so, that 100 group of cars get shipped back out by tractor trailer again. There are no buyers coming to the site. There is no mechanical work they're doing on the site. There's no service work whatsoever. They only employ 2 people, other than the inspectors, which sometimes might be 1 or 2. As I said, the tractor trailers come out periodically during the month. There's on lot 34.01, which is approximately 4.5-acre lot. This used to be what some of the old timers know as the Race Weld property. It was the Mataka family. It was a machine shop. They built engines. They had race car parts in there. My client only rents about 1/3 of the big building, about 60 by 60, and he's put what he calls a photo booth in there. So some of the cars that are brought in get photoed. Some of the cars from what you might know to the west is Novak Motors, and they're affiliated with this group. Some of their cars periodically might be brought in, photoed, and taken back to Novak Motors. That's pretty much the extent of the operation. The other buildings that are actually on the smaller property, there's a house, and there's what was formerly a bait shop, I believe also operated at one time by the Matakas. They're vacant. They're not really part of this application. I just wanted to make everybody know that that's what's going on. And we fully understand that should we decide to change the operation or construct anything further, we have to come back to this board. It could be an expansion of hopefully the use you grant us tonight. And that's about it.
Just a quick procedural question.
Certainly.
You mentioned, so there's an ongoing use now.
Yes.
And you're applying for the D1 use variance, but bifurcated.
Well, there's no need for any site plan at this time because we're not making any changes to the property.
Okay, because what the description said.
No, I know that description's slightly off because of my initial application, and I apologize. I said we wanted to do sales and service.
Right.
We can't do that because we're not changing anything. And I know you won't let me ask for a blanket approval for sales
right.
and service.
Right.
So I'm almost with you on this one.
Okay.
So when I first filed it, I was not completely sure where they were going with this.
So what you're saying is you're applying for a D1 variance only. You're contending that you're making no changes over the previously approved site plan.
We opened the files. I went up, and Denise and I went through the files. I couldn't find any other history on this property. I tried to OPRA the building department to see when the building got built. I have nothing. The Mataka brothers and their sister, who I think used to be...
Helen Mataka.
Helen.
Yes.
Right. They're now all deceased. The last brother just passed away a couple of weeks ago. That individual's guardian and soon to be the executor of all these estates is a Charles Dubell III. He's an attorney. I wrote to him to get some information, and I had no information.
So
all I can tell you.
Right. So there's three sentences of the description. I'm going to read you each sentence. You tell me that's correct or it needs adjusting or whatever.
Okay.
The applicant is seeking a D1 use variance to receive, visually inspect, and photograph automobiles typically coming off a 3-year lease to then sell via the internet at auction or at another retail location, period. Is that correct?
That is correct. And just so that you know, the administrative effort to sell at auction or internet is all done at other locations, not this location.
Okay. If the D1 variance is granted, there would be no change in the use or existing conditions on the property, period. I'm going to add a period there. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So the last sentence would be there will be no application for site plan approval made at this time. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, at least we know this is the game plan, and then as things develop we can figure out if a site plan is required or not. We'll work on that, but
Okay.
Okay, let me just add right at that point. I was on the planning board. I may have been chairman at the time when Mataka's first came in and got a site plan. So there exists a site plan, yes. And unfortunately the files from some of the things that were stored over in the old municipal building.
Okay. We know that can happen. But as I said, we Denise and I dug,
yeah,
and we couldn't find anything.
No.
So that's good to know that a site plan did exist. And so here we are. I have three witnesses. One will be the surveyor that did the plans that are in front of me today. As I said, no change of plan. I did ask him to put in the zoning chart so that he would be aware of some of the pre-existing conditions, which I don't know if they were approved or not approved. Some of the older buildings are closer to the road than they should be on one of the lots. I also asked him to specifically go through what the hard surface calculations would be as they exist today, or if we combine the properties at some point in the future. We're not under contract with the Mataka Estates at this point in time, so it's a little bit speculation, but I thought that information would be important. The second witness will be an individual that works with Novak Motors and the name of the real estate company that owns the property, Old 75. That's Phil Miller, and he'll go through the operation with you step by step. And then finally, I have Beth McManus, who is our planner, and she'll give you the testimony.
So why don't we get everyone sworn, including Tom Behrens?
Okay.
So can everyone stand up?
You tell the truth, testimony about you in this matter, will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so God.
And starting on the left, identify yourself, spell your last name, and give your relationship to the applicant or the board, as the case may be.
My name is Frank Klapinski. I'm a licensed surveyor in the state of New Jersey. K-L-A, P as in Peter, I-N-S-K-I.
My name is Philip Miller, M-I-L-L-E-R. I'm the director of sales for Novak Motors, and I represent Old 75 here today.
Elizabeth McManus, M-C-M-A-N-U-S, and I'm the planner representing the applicant.
Tom Behrens, last name B-E-H-R-E-N-S, board planner.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Just before we start, can I ask, is there anyone in the public that's interested in this case, either as an objector or going to seek to comment?
That's and Frank's wife sitting in the back.
Aha!
I hope
good evening.
He's in favor.
Okay. So just let the record reflect, please. There is no one has raised their hand, indicated that they are public.
We have someone in the doorway. Are you here?
Oh, I'm for the next application.
Okay.
He didn't raise his hand.
Right now.
Okay. Just watching.
Okay.
Is that clear enough? Okay.
Oh, I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah.
And if I can ask one other question.
Certainly.
Are you here to see two D variances for two properties?
No. I don't.
Are you going to get into this? I don't want to get ahead of your case.
No. The reason I did that is all these properties are owned by the Tacos. These buildings are in somewhat different care, and it looks like this could have been used as a roof for tractor trailers and things. They really physically are not using this. So the request really is just for lot 34.01. It's there more for information.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
And again, on that smaller lot, that was not part of the approved site plan.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, Frank, you are a licensed surveyor in the state of New Jersey?
That is correct. I've been licensed since 1986.
And have you made it a practice to appear in front of boards like this in the past?
I have. I appeared before Stockton Borough, West Samwell, Hopewell Township, Ewing Township, Lawrence Township, a lot around Mercer County, up into one or two down in Ocean County also.
I would offer him as a professional licensed surveyor.
Mr. Question, you have a degree from a public university or from a university?
I had an associate's degree from Mercer County Community College at the time. It's now Mercer County College.
Okay.
And at the time I received my license, if you went through to what we called the School of Hard Knocks, 10 years of practical experience allowed you to sit for the test. That is no longer a way in to get your surveyor's license. You must have a four-year degree now. But I, like I said, received my license in 1986.
Okay. Any questions as to his qualifications? No? Okay. He's acceptable.
Thank you. You prepared the plans that are before the that we submitted to the board. There are a set of plans. It says survey of lots 43.01, 35, 4.03. It bears a date of November 14, 2018, and it has a revision date of 2/25/19. That should be the plan that the board has.
They were prepared under my direct supervision.
Okay. And, John, I think we need to mark color version of this.
That's a color-rendered version of the plan of survey prepared by Mr. Klapinski with the last revision date of 2/25/2019?
That is correct.
That is correct.
Lower right-hand corner somewhere. That's left. Right hand.
Okay. There's a plastic cover on this. No, there's a plastic here.
Right okay.
Just for your information, the coloration was actually prepared by Beth McManus. I think Frank is capable of walking you through it, explaining the plan. If you would, Frank, can you kind of orient the board where this property is, plan A1 if necessary?
Can I stand up?
Sure.
Yeah.
If you stand up, just take that handheld mic.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's for recording. We can hear you. That's the double safety, just in case something happens with Jackie's machine, which is highly unlikely. But in the event that should happen, it's the backup plan.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Good plug for you.
The two properties are located at 1110 and 1120 New Jersey State Highway Route 22. The property is bound or bordered by Interstate Route number 78 to the north, New Jersey State Highway Route 22 to the south. To the west, we have tax lot 36.01, which I believe you know is Novak Motors. And over here to the east is tax lot 34, which I believe used to be or is still called Williams Harley-Davidson dealership. It comprises of two lots, lot 34.01, which is the larger portion right here. It comes up and over. And then this is lot 35, which is the smaller part. Lot 34.01 consists of the following. There's a 9,707 square foot masonry industrial building. Means of ingress, egress, and regress is per a bituminous concrete drive situated to the east of the existing structure. This structure is the tall, tan, rendered building on the left side of the drawing. There is a stone millings, there's a bituminous concrete driveway that comes in, and that's the darker gray that you see on the rendered drawing. There is a lay-down area situate, lay-down storage area. Lay-down is a term used a lot of times for any kind of storage that would be put down on a site. And that is situate on the site. That is the lighter gray area. It goes around the back of the existing asphalt or bituminous concrete to the north of the building. It's to the east of the paved section. There's a stone or macadam driveway that goes around and down onto the other property, which is lot 35. There is on lot 34.01, it's a small
rust-colored trailer as far as a physical feature goes. There's a sign in the front yard. There's a light here. There's a little fence in this area right here that is in very, very poor condition.
That kind of takes care of lot 34.01.
Just a quick clarification. The lay-down area, do you mean it's paved or it's impervious?
Because
the lay-down area is generally where you take equipment and lay it down.
Yeah, supplies, no matter what it could be. It could be piping. In this case, it's cars.
It
consists of stone and what I would describe as ground asphalt millings, but asphalt millings, not the dry type of millings that you may be accustomed to.
And I would here at Tech, but I would actually refer to it as the staging area where these cars
staging
are.
Staging area, okay.
Yeah. Sound better?
Yeah.
Frank, there's also a gate as you go into the... Would you just...
There is a gate.
There's actually two gates on the property.
You know, can you grab the mic? The mic, just for the recording.
I apologize.
Yeah.
The first gate is situated on lot 34.01. It's right in here.
So the gate is how many feet from Route 22, do you think, up that driveway?
That's why this makes a good pointer. It's at about 30, 35 feet. And on lot 35, the smaller lot, there's a gate situated right here about halfway back on that long building there. And that, again, that is approximately, say, 105 to 110 feet back from the roadway.
Now, Frank, you heard my introduction and the inquiries from the board members. We pretty much indicated that lot 35 is not a part of this application. We simply gave that information. It's just for informational purposes. So I'm going to ask you if you would unless the board wants to hear more, would you just kind of review the zoning requirements as they exist in the C2 zone and what the existing condition and what the condition will be after tonight we're not changing anything on just lot 34.01?
Okay. The lot 34.01, the lot area, is required is 217,800 square foot, and we have 199,011.
So that's
an existing condition.
An existing non-conforming
Correct.
Condition. Okay.
The lot depth has to be 600 feet. Let me come back and refer to my plan here.
That's the maximum lot depth you're referring
to. That is correct.
Okay. 600 foot is the maximum lot depth, and lot 34.01 is at 380.16.
How much is the existing?
380.16. We have a minimum lot width of 350. Lot 34.01 is 492.5 feet. We have a front setback line of 40 feet, and the existing building on lot 34.01 is 103.6 feet. We have a rear setback requirement of 100 feet. The current building is at 103.8 feet. The zone has a side setback of 75 feet. The existing building is at 50.2 feet.
And that's from the westerly boundary line, correct?
That is correct.
And it's huge distance from the other boundary line. But that,
yes.
That 50.2 feet is a pre-existing non-conforming item, correct?
Right.
Okay.
We have a maximum building height of 32 foot. The current building on lot 34.01 is 24.5 feet. And we have a floor area ratio of allowable 15%. We are at 5%. And a maximum impervious coverage of 40%. And we are at 33%.
So the two pre-existing non-conforming conditions would be the minimum lot size and the side yard setback.
That is correct.
Okay.
So again, just to clarify, lot 35, even though it's shown, is not part of the application, correct?
No, because it's not being used. We don't intend to use it. When we started this process, I thought it made sense.
Yeah, I got it. That's
okay.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm just going to ask now. So the trucks that will enter the site that are delivering cars, they'll be able to make a turn elsewhere? And this just seems like
in other
a
words, they're,
goal.
Right. They're, yeah. So the trucks will not be
they're
exiting.
They're not doing a loop.
They're not doing
not
a loop.
No. Frank, do you have an opportunity to witness any of the trucks coming in and leaving this particular site while you were working there?
I did not witness any trucks coming and leaving the site. However, at the northerly end of the bituminous concrete driveway, which is situated east of the building, there was a large area in there where the gentleman absolutely made sure we never parked, because if a truck did come in, that is where they pull a turnaround maneuver. They come in on that driveway that is situated to the east of the building. They turn around in the back, they unload their vehicles, and they exit through that same driveway. And that is only by him reiterating every time we were at the site, which I believe was four different times, make sure you don't park there. We do.
Okay, so assuming that there's an approval, there's going to be a condition, no use of lot 35 without prior approval.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Agreed. I think I've covered everything I need from you, Frank. Let me just quickly go through. I had something here that said Frank. I think I mentioned it, but this property is located in the township C2 commercial zone, correct?
That is correct. It's illustrated as the site on the zoning map in the upper left-hand corner of the drawing.
Okay. Okay.
Can I ask, not to cut you off?
No, I'm
he's done.
Turn the witness over to your board members or professionals.
I think you have one sign on that driveway, the westerly driveway.
There is a sign on there. It's
what is
supported
that?
By two vertical.
What does it say? Any information about that sign?
I do not remember exactly what it said. It's drawn absolutely to scale. We located both vertical posts going up there. I believe there may be a picture or something later.
There's obviously no proposed signage.
No, there's no new proposed sign. There's no new proposed lighting. There's no new proposed landscaping. As you'll hear momentarily, that it's...
There's no new proposed improvements, period.
Period, yep. I just want to make sure you understood what that meant.
In terms of waste storage, tires, any cardboard, where, what's going on?
Okay. Well, why don't we bring up Phil Miller?
Yeah,
jump in.
Because there's no servicing, so there are no tires, there's no cardboard.
Yeah, bring him up, bring him up.
I'm going to bring him up.
Yep.
Do you guys have any questions for this witness?
No. And again, just for the record, there are some people in the audience, but one person's with the applicant and one is with the next applicant who's just observing, correct?
You have one additional person.
Hey, new person now.
Oh, two people. Two people observing. Two observers.
Is it straight through the poll for you?
Yeah.
Yep.
Good
night.
Hi, everyone. This is Phil Miller. He was sworn in a few moments ago. So just repeat what your position is with the applicant, and I think you said also the Novak Motors, which is the private car dealership, if you will, located to the west of this property.
Yes, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Philip Miller. I'm the director of sales for Novak Motors. I'm here today representing Old 75.
And when you say you're here representing Old 75, you're familiar with the operation that has gone on and that we're actually asking for permission to have go on there?
Yes, I am.
And you indicated you are part of Novak Motors. That's the property or the business that's on tax lot 36.01 to the west of the property?
Yes, it is.
And then you want to use this property, which is lot 34.01. Are there other properties involved with your operation?
Yes, Novak Motors has three locations. One is in Farmingdale, New York, one here in Lebanon, New Jersey, and one in Bedford, Texas.
And besides the sales of cars off of Lot 36 and perhaps in those other locations, are they also in the automobile leasing business?
Yes, we are.
And it's those vehicles that after their lease is up, which is what, typically 3 years?
Average term is 36 months.
36 months. They're brought to, the proposal is they are brought to this site?
Yes, we have a leasing business, and at the termination of the leased vehicles would be returned to one of our marshaling yards, this okay. being one of them.
Okay.
We're processing roughly 100 cars at this site where we do a visual inspection of the car, prepare a full condition report, photograph the car. We would also have a independent inspection party do an inspection as well to protect the customer as required by various state laws that would be completed on site. We have on site two full-time employees that work for us and one to two inspectors. George, I think you mentioned in your opening remarks that would work for AIM, which is
that
a
would work for
inspection.
Who?
AIM. It's an inspection. It's a nationally recognized inspection company, and this is what they do.
And it's AIM?
AIM. Yes, sir.
Now, you said 100 cars. It's 100 vehicles per month?
Per month is what we right. process at that location.
Okay. And that's an average?
Yes.
Okay. Keep going, please. You're doing great.
Okay. So, again, as part of that process, we would prepare a condition report, including pictures. We would stage the car, and then ultimately depending on where we're going to dispose the car would get picked up and it would leave the site. There is no customer contact on site. No cars are returned by customers at that site. There is no repairs done at that site. There is no servicing of the vehicles done at that site. The second use that we've used for the site is for our Novak facility located next door. It's a best practice in industry to take a good picture to sell cars on the Internet. So we put a photo booth in that site, which is conducive for taking a nice glamour shot of a car to put it on the Internet and sell it. So our Novak location, last year we sold 410 cars. So roughly 30 to 40 cars were transported to that site and photoed on site and then returned to Novak Motors.
When you say photoed on site, where is the photo booth actually located?
It's located inside of the Racewell building.
It's roughly in the, I call it the front, which would be the southern side of the building.
Correct.
You're actually renting, I think it's a 60 by 60 portion of that building?
Yes. We would use that front part of the building to photograph Novak inventory. And as I stated, between 30 and 40 cars per month. We will also do the inspections of cars to keep people out of the weather. It's raining, so we would pull a car in. So the lease end inspections would happen inside the building. Cars are not left in the building overnight, but they would be pulled in, inspected, good light, out of the elements, if you will, and then returned to the lot.
What are your hours of operation, and what will they be?
9 to 5.
And I notice on the, well, let's talk about the big building. I just indicated you rent the property, but you only rent the front 60 by 60 portion of the building. Do you know what's
correct
in the back portion of the building?
I do. When we entered into the lease of the building was completely full. As you stated, there was a machine shop, if you will, for vehicles that I guess were raced off-road, possibly, and I don't want to speak for the owners, a hobby of theirs, but they had a lot of equipment and things in there. They are, it is being liquidated, so people are coming in and slowly selling off the equipment or moving the equipment out of the building. So,
and that's by the owners or their representatives?
By their owner's representative, okay, at this point, yes, sir.
I also note that on this property, there's a trailer up in the northwest corner. Do you know anything about that?
It belongs to the owners.
Okay. And do you know, is anybody occupying it or using it?
No. There is no one living on the site.
Okay. And it's not part of your operation?
Correct.
Is that a trailer on wheels, like a tractor, a trailer from a tractor trailer, or is that a trailer like a an office trailer or a storage trailer?
A storage trailer.
So does it have wheels or not?
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure. I know there's also a full dumpster back there right now, one that a truck would deliver to.
It's a trailer from the tractor trailer.
It is a trailer. Okay.
We have a report from the prior witness who indicates he believes it's a tractor trailer with wheels.
It's a trailer from a pulled by a tractor.
Thank you. Okay. You indicated that you have about 100 cars coming and going a month. You have two employees, so looking at the plans, there's more than sufficient parking for those two employees at any given time?
Yes, sir.
And when the independent inspectors come in, there's just one or two of them, so there might be four cars on site of employees or inspectors?
Correct,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. And how do these tractor trailers enter? How do they turn around, and how do they leave? And if you need to use the A1,
and are these
please
truly tractor trailers, or are they car carriers?
Speak into that and answer the man's question, please.
The answer is both. At times, a tractor trailer could come in to our facility that could tow away or bring in as many as 8 vehicles.
And how do you get them off, if it's a tractor trailer and not a car carrier, how do you get the vehicles off the tractor?
It's a car carrier. When I'm saying tractor trailer, I'm...
Okay. Okay.
Car carrier.
It's a car carrier.
Yes. Okay.
Clarification, I understand.
And maybe you can sit right there so they
One little minor. Have you seen Mr. Barron's report?
Yes.
Okay. The picture and you see all the cars there? Are those the cars that are there to be inspected and photographed?
Yes.
All right, great. Okay, now I get it.
And if you could just kind of explain so that it's on the record, the track the car carriers come in the westerlymost lane that's on lot 34. They pull in, correct? And then they do kind of a tractor-trailer K-turn at the back of the property?
Yes, sir. I'll illustrate here. So the cars are coming in. This is our only entrance to the lot that we're using. So the tractor-trailers are coming here. They're able to make a turn, and they're exiting where they come in.
And so I assume they either drop their load as they're going in or as they're turn around and come out, and then the cars are staged accordingly to where they
correct.
Okay. There is a gate there, and this gate is functional, and you lock it at night?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Do you have or does this use have or involve any hazardous materials?
No, it does not.
Okay. And are you familiar with the existing sign on the property?
Yes, I am.
Do you know what it says today? Or do we need to pull out one of the photos?
It says Racewell. I think there's a few other things on there, so if you want to pull out a photo for illustration.
I think Beth might have it, but you're not planning on putting anything else on that sign?
Not at this time.
Right.
You're going to leave it, say, Racewell?
We recognize that any changes would require a separate application.
Okay. Until you want to change the text, it's staying Racewell. If you want to change the text, you're going to apply for the appropriate permit, is what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
And you heard before, we're asking permission for this use and to use this building for that one purpose, and that should you decide to change any of that, either physically or the use, you will have to come back to this board.
That is understood.
Thank you. I have nothing further for this witness.
Questions?
How many deliveries, or what's your delivery schedule typically? I understand it could vary. You have 30 or 40 trucks coming a month. Is it 9 to 5? Are there any during the night, on weekends, or anything like that?
There's no access at night. We only receive cars or deliver cars when we're staffed. So it's through the hours of 9 to 5.
And the only cars that will be there are affiliated with Novak Motors? Or are they coming from any other dealerships? Or
So Novak Motors is sister company to Fusion Auto Finance, which is our leasing company. The cars are coming through Fusion Auto Finance.
So there's no, you're not getting them from Hertz, you're not getting them
no.
from anybody.
It's a closely held affiliated company.
And they're relatively new cars because they're generally
coming
20 years old.
We only lease brand new cars, so an average term would be 36 months. There could be some to 48 months, so 2 to 4 years, but average is 3 years.
What type of brands?
We tend to lease a lot of Jeep product, Grand Cherokee, Cherokee, Wranglers. We lease some Audis, Q5s, Q7s, Acuras, MDX, RDX.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
But you typed well. I couldn't do that. Dodge Ram pickup trucks, Ford F-150s, Chevy Silverados. It's a range, yes, sir.
Consumer vehicle. What's the average and what's the maximum number of vehicles that would be on site at any given time?
I would say the average is right there at 100 vehicles. I'd say the most we've had is 125.
What's the growth potential of this aspect of the business? I mean, is this going to grow one day into thousands of cars? And
that's a great question. We have other locations. Our primary marshaling yard is located in New York, where we receive the majority of our cars. Certainly, I respect with any township that there's pervious coverage and there's limitations as to what the size of the business could be. So I'm not seeking any more than what we're doing right now. If we were to acquire and develop the site, I recognize I would be back before this board.
So in other words, if the board imposed a condition that said no more than 125 vehicles on the site at any one time, you'd be fine with that?
I would be fine with that.
Is it accurate to say that you're handling 100 vehicles via car carrier plus 30 to 40 from Novec Motors next door?
Yes.
So it's you're handling actually at the facility somewhere between 130 to 140 vehicles. Do the 30 to 40 vehicles that come from Novec Motors stay overnight?
No.
Or are they processed and immediately returned?
They're processed and immediately returned. They would be driven next door, photographed, and driven back to Novec.
Thank you.
And I suppose the limitation of the growth of that is based on the number of cars you're leasing and then having come off lease right
Correct.
Next door.
Correct. That's our business model.
Yep.
I just wanted to offer suggestions. So there are different ways you could approach the limitation. One is by number. You know, 125, that becomes an enforcement thing where somebody has to go and count them. You could do that and or just have an area delineated which could be representative of the paved area that you have on the map that you could, as long as they're within that area, you can do whatever you want and possibly have a number limitation. But this way, upon entering the site or inspecting, you know that the rules are being followed so that it doesn't become an inventory of cars from any dealership.
We have no problem with that, with the area, because we don't park beyond those that area. And as I said, the 125 is fine, and keeping it on that, that's just called stone lay down area, but we're going to call it a staging area.
How many cars can be in that area at one time? The area that, you know.
Do you mean in the light?
Yeah, the light. You said you're storing them, right, if I understood you? Not storing them, but they come
park.
In the truck, they park right. there, and so you...
No more than 125 at any given time.
Okay, so that could handle 125, and that's the maximum. Okay.
Go ahead, John.
Has there been any consideration to incorporating this property into Novec Motors? The reason I ask that is because of the much lower hurdle to expand an existing non-conforming use.
John, we
it
don't
is
own,
to create a new use by variance.
They don't own this property. They're only leasing it at this time, so it wouldn't be possible for us to merge the properties. Perhaps if they make a deal with the Mataka Estates and we come back, that might be part of the application, as might be a direct access drive because they'd become one property. But we don't own it, so we can't merge it. And there may be other business reasons why we
have you approached the Mataka Estate?
Yes. There is interest, and we have an option to purchase. With the recent passing of the last Mataka brother, they've got to go through estate and everything else. But once that's done, we would explore that.
Give more. Go ahead. Are you only doing inspections and photography for cars that are owned by Novec Motors and Fusion Auto Finance, or are you in the business for looking to do photographs and inspections for other people?
We are only doing inspections and photographs for our vehicles, which is Fusion Auto Finance and Novec Motors.
Okay.
Transferring from Novec to this facility for inspection, you enter Route 22, U-turn someplace, come back in, and go around.
Yes, sir.
So presently, I don't see any driveway. There's no plans to be interconnected. You don't own it, I understand. But that's you go out onto Route 22. Is any of the tractor, the car trailer, do they come into your site, Novec, and return to this site as well? They go from Novec to here for inspections? Or they go directly to this facility for inspections?
No, the vehicles that are being returned to this facility are being driven straight to this facility.
Okay. So there's no tractor trailer moving from Novec to this inspection?
Yes, sir. Correct.
There is none?
There is none.
Okay.
And the vehicles that are being dropped off by end-of-term people that you're then inspecting, you guys drive them around to the other property, or is that you have customers coming onto this property dropping off at that location?
The cars that are dropped at this location are being picked up from dealers where customers have returned them.
So this is a wholesale operation where they're inspected, staged, and then ultimately shipped out to auto auctions such as Mannheim, Odessa, Southern.
Where I'm talking specifically about the vehicles being returned to Novak that you're then inspecting. You had mentioned that you, along with the ones that you have brought in by tractor-trailer, you also have vehicles being dropped at Novak that you then bring over, inspect, and then bring back to Novak.
Okay. I understand. The cars that we're shipping over from Novak are cars that we're holding for retail sale.
Okay.
So we move them next door, photograph them in the photo booth, and then return them to Novak where they are then sold, shown to the public.
All right, man, I misunderstood. I thought you were doing that as well as also end of lease.
Okay. One more. So if there's a problem with the car that you find through the inspection, where does it get serviced if it needs anything?
Fair question.
Yeah, question.
Say a car needs a battery, we would drive it to Novak and put a battery in it.
Next door?
Next door.
Yeah. So you do servicing next door?
We do.
Any other questions?
I have a related question to the space that can hold 125 cars at a time. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes.
At a time. So if we had the limitation...
I'm suggesting two. No more than 125 cars, and the cars that are parked there can't be parked anywhere other than in the impervious area.
Right. So the proposal is 125 a month? Because theoretically...
No more than 125 cars at any given time. Because it sounds like they have car carriers bringing in a whole load of cars, and then they start, they have a backlog there of cars, and then they start working them through, doing inspections, and then after they have a sufficient number that could be taken on a car carrier somewhere, then they're taken off site. So the limitation would be, because the only way you could have an easily enforceable condition is a number at any one time. So even though he said it's an average of 125 a month,
that's a lot of growth, though, that you're allowing to happen, right? Well, if I'm understanding this, it's 100 now, and Mr. Pfeiffer?
100 average, he said. And then someone asked him, what's the max? He said 100. Mr. McTiernan asked him, what's the max? He said 125.
Right, and so Mr. Pfeiffer.
Pfeiffer
said that what was the growth? Right? And so that's how we got onto this line of talking.
There is no growth.
There is, yes. Would there be growth beyond that? The answer was no. Then I said, would you accept the condition no more than 100?
Oh, no. I understand what she's asking, though. She's saying, I mean, you could have growth just purely by turning over cars faster, by having a tractor trailer twice a day and having, you know, 50 inspectors or something like that.
But it's way more than 125 a month. It's 125 on site, so they could bring them in every day. That's a lot of cars.
Right. The issue is, what can the site handle?
Okay.
So that's where Tom's coming from, is what can the site handle, not, you know, how many tractor trailers are coming on and off the road. Now, that might be, if you're interested in that, then ask about that. Tom was, what can the site handle?
It's a good question. I mean, I'm assuming, based on the fact that it's Route 22, it can handle more. But, you know, is there a practical limit to what you're going to be doing in terms of, you know, an increase in tractor trailers dropping off, picking up, things like that?
So that's the frequency of activity.
Well, any company wants to grow. I'm not going to sit here and say we wouldn't like to grow. But we understand that the impact on the township, the impact on traffic, the impact on the community matters.
Mm-hmm.
Our current business is averaging 100 cars are being processed at this facility. We may have one truck a day, sometimes two. That's been the current per business day flow of business at this location. Since we're looking at leasing, and I can tell you that the cars that are coming off today were leased 3 years ago, I know what my portfolio is for the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the volume is the same. It's not spiked dramatically where I would be anticipating a large influx of cars.
Now, if you think there's some negative criterion issue with the frequency of how many tractor trailers a day, then you should talk to them about that, because the condition that Tom suggested has nothing to do with how many tractor trailers a day.
Right, exactly.
So tonight I would have the 125 vehicles that you had at any one time. With your capable surveyor out there, is there an area that could be delineated as being the storage area?
I think it's the
lot. That would keep 125 vehicles. I see driveway. I mean, you know, the gray color up there.
So
you can park cars up and down that driveway and still be on the pavement, per se.
Currently, the majority of the cars are parked as you enter in here. This gray area is kept clean for trucks to enter and exit the property. There are cars parked in this area here, this lighter gray area, and around the perimeter out here. That's where typically employees would park.
Okay. I mean, your photo here, the aerial, shows that very well. And yeah, it might have about 70 vehicles shown on the photo right now. It could expand.
Whose aerial is that? Is that Tom's aerial or his aerial?
I think it came from these folks.
I think our original application had one or two.
There's two aerial photos attached.
Yeah. Front and back, John.
Oh, I see it.
Yeah, we found. I went back a couple years and just tried to get it represented.
Because have you counted the number of cars that are in Tom's aerial in his report? Would it surprise you if there are 50 cars in Tom's aerial? No.
Really, the Google Maps.
Right. So the question is, we know that it's an average of 100 vehicles a month, maybe at your max, 125 vehicles a month. So on your typical day in a month, how many vehicles do you have parked out there? Is it typical 50 or more than 50 or less than 50?
More than 50.
My original point was, can an area be delineated such that we know we're not going down the driveway? Or, you know, it's not going to be sprawl, is my point.
Can you put in some concrete monuments? He's a surveyor, just so you know.
I'm not looking for okay. I'm not looking for.
He's a retired surveyor.
Retired.
Right.
But then you post or whatever. You know, something that would be delineated, we can see helicopters, drones, whatever, that things are expanding.
So could you do that?
The only thing is that the difficulty in doing it is the fact that these cars are stacked. It's not where you have a typical
stacked parking.
18-foot
right.
parking
spot. We understand. We're not saying the cars can't travel in other places, but can you put four monuments, for example, at the four corners of a designated area to have the stacked parking in?
John, does that have site plan implications?
Yeah. Here and then. I don't know. Here. All right. What we have right here, we put a 4x4 and a 4x4, a 6x6 and a 6x6 up. Park here too.
We don't, but we have the ability to. Again, the reason the question is being asked is for enforcement purposes.
No, I understand. I'm just trying to figure out how we can do that. Would you want
No, we could ask, but how?
Do you want like a 2-minute recess where you can talk amongst yourselves? It's like Mr. Gills in Raritan Township, where they have your application for the impound yard for the police. They do theirs within fencing. The board's not asking for fencing. Right. They're talking about four concrete corner markers.
Yeah. Okay. Just 2 points of clarification. I think he was clear. He wasn't looking for concrete. Why just yeah. an indicator. We'll get to. And the other is he wasn't asking where they were. He's just saying asking conceptually. Can it be done?
Conceptually, yes.
So if the board were to grant way, we might be more precise on where exactly those are, even though you don't come up with
a it could be a condition of an approval. And if you'd had markers, in my opinion, if it's a condition of approval, you wouldn't need site plan approval to put four concrete monuments in. To put fencing in would be a different situation. That's why I was thinking the concrete monuments.
But all I'm saying is that we don't think in condition.
Yeah. Do all the stuff lay down there. Over.
Do you guys want a two-minute recess to talk about it or not?
I think it's pretty well delineated on the plans in front.
Yeah, but here's the problem, though. Take a look at the plan delineation, and you take a look at the photo in Tom's memo, and it looks like some of that impervious surface has grass growing up through it.
Well, looking at the Exhibit A1,
right,
where he calls it lay-down area. Oh, I know. I want to call it a staging area.
I know what he's calling it, but it seems like the gray area on Exhibit A1 exceeds the area that the actual photograph that
That would be a question for our surveyor, because I believe he surveyed the edge of the building.
Put it this way. Let me ask the surveyor. Is there grass growing up between some of the millings and some of the areas?
Not that I remember. I mean, maybe down at the lower...
Come on.
No, at the lower end, but we actually took the stone area and we took radial location shots all around the perimeter of that, and that is what is plotted as the dotted line for the gray area.
Because put it this way, I don't think the board... Well, they have to speak for themselves. I don't think they're concerned that the actual area have impervious, just that there be a delineated area. And to say that it's going to be the area on an Exhibit A1, but out in the field, how would the zoning officer or anyone know unless you put markers down? And the only way to put markers down that are permanent would be concrete corner markers if it's not going to be a fence.
May I interject that your enforcement officer, if we put a concrete marker down, the first fall, they get covered with leaves and stuff.
So have them, so raise them a little. They don't have to be flush.
You can do that.
You can have 6-inch high concrete markers.
Okay. If I can interrupt just for a sort of a point of clarification, I've got one eye on the clock because we have another case tonight. So I think we can go till 8:30, maybe a little longer, but we can't go to 9:00. We may have to continue. So I just kind of want to tell you where my head is.
Get a quick answer on this thing. You can get to your next witness.
The quick answer is, I don't really want to testify, but I just spoke to my client. It might be quicker if I indicate. If you're looking at A1,
microphone.
We know this area, the light gray, to the east of the building is where the majority of the staging goes. We would have the ability to put... Well, I mean, we can say we must stay on those, on that area. We could put a post at 3 of the corners. I can't put one here because it might interfere with trailer movement. And on occasion, they use this area, which is all the way to the east.
What does that mean, on occasion?
Yeah, exactly.
If they get to that 125, I mean, I think if you look on the... Burgess report, they look like they're roughly rows of 10 cars.
I guess my point was, if we were to write up a condition, does occasionally mean every day?
Where you can do it, we're trying to delineate, that's all.
Are you asking for that to be an always acceptable location, then, as far as the condition goes?
Right.
I know.
We can't exceed 125. We've agreed to that. We believe the average is 100. And I think, again, I tried to count quickly what the Burgess report showed, and I'm going to tell you there's closer to 100 cars there because they look like rows of 10, and there's about 10 rows.
I think the question on the table is whether or not you could put markers in that would delineate the extent.
We will.
Okay, and the board may want to see where that is before we vote, but maybe we want to get to your plan or no, give you a chance. You guys can think about that.
Okay.
I'm not telling you how to run your case. I'm just throwing out ideas.
If you think you can fit 125 vehicles in the square area, you don't need to put them along, to the east. But why don't you get your planner on?
We'll get our planner on. I'll ask Miller.
Can I ask an additional question before you?
Hang on. We've got...
So the question I have is, what is the turn? Like, when you get a tractor trailer of cars, I don't know how many is on a tractor trailer of cars, what is the effective turnover of those particular cars? I know is it a day? Is it 3 days? Is it 4? Is it a week?
It can vary for different reasons depending on where we decide to move the car, but typically a car is out of there in 2 weeks, 10 days to 2 weeks.
Okay. Does it have to be that long, or can it be sped up? Or I'm trying to get to frequency, that the tractor trailer could come in there and drop off a load and then go back. And, what's the maximum? you know, frequency that a tractor rail could come in there and put and get to the maximum of 125.
The vehicles are turnover are staged while we determine the best option for liquidating the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some time that goes into that, and then arranging shipping and everything else that needs to happen. Plus, with the inspections, there's a forced time period where you provide an inspection and you will give a customer a bill for lease end charges. So you, there is a mandatory delay there as well. So I'd say 10 days is about right.
Maybe you can figure out the number of tractor trailers.
One more question. It's only registered vehicles, correct? There's no unregistered vehicles that would ever come onto the lot, correct?
Correct.
And there's an average of about 8 vehicles on a car carrier?
Yes.
Okay.
8 vehicles on car carrier.
Okay. Beth, come up, and I'm going to ask you to speedily go through your list.
No.
Oh, well.
Slowly but succinctly.
Right. You're going to ask her to concisely go through her testimony.
Okay.
Beth, before you begin, I have to qualify you,
sure,
even though the board is quite familiar with your qualifications. You're a licensed professional in the state of New Jersey?
Yes.
And you have been for how long?
Since 2006.
And you earned a good degree and taken all the necessary courses?
Absolutely.
And you have appeared before boards in the past, and you represented boards.
I actually did my first private testimony before this board for a use variance that we were representing.
Okay. I would offer that as a professional planner.
She is certainly acceptable.
Thank you.
I declare her well qualified.
I hope so. Okay. Situated here.
You can just hand me your exhibits. And
okay. There's an extra copy there. That should be fine.
There's just one package?
Yeah, it's one package. It's all the same.
Okay.
Okay. So, folks, we're here to talk this evening about a use variance for everything that we just heard. But basically, we're looking at a property for receiving, inspecting, and photographing used vehicles. Importantly, vehicles that are roughly 3 years old, approximately 3 years old. And also, really importantly, we are not talking about a site that is going to involve hazardous materials. This is not a site that is going to be conducting auto body or auto service. This is simply processing of leased vehicles. Furthermore, this is not a site that's going to be attracting customers to the property. So this is not a site that's going to have a significant influx of folks coming to and from the property. Yes, there's obviously traffic coming to and from the property, as we heard about the vehicles coming in for their inspection and photography and so forth, but this is not a property. This is not akin to a car dealership, for example, where there are going to be a number of people coming to visit the property and folks that it might be unfamiliar with the site and the surrounding area. So in order to achieve the use variance, we obviously have to talk about certain criteria. We've got the positive criteria and the negative criteria, and as I'm sure you all expect, I'm going to start with the positive criteria. So the question I'm here to answer, or the question I'm here to discuss is, as far as the positive criteria, is whether or not this property is particularly suited for the use which is proposed. And then I'm also going to talk about how I think that this proposal aligns with purposes of the municipal land use law. So first, in terms of its particular suitability, it's really important to recognize that the use that's proposed is part of the existing character of the immediate area. And it's also part of the historic, similar, but not an expansion of nonconforming use, but it's similar to the existing character of the site and its historic use. So this is a property that's for some decades been associated with cars, as I think was testified this evening. About two-thirds of the existing building on the western side, the building that we're proposing to reoccupy, is currently being used for storage of vehicles, and the site has historically been used for as a use associated with cars, I would say. In addition to to that. Again, I just want to emphasize, even though this is a use that's associated with vehicles, it's not one that's going to be generating hazardous materials. And it's also not similar to a car dealership, which typically has significant lighting and other outward effects. Instead, this is a site, and this is a proposed use, where virtually all of the activity, the commerce is taking place inside of the building, with the exterior of the site being used predominantly for storage, short-term storage of vehicles. So I find that the site is particularly suited for this proposed use because of these factors, because this auto receiving, inspecting, and photography use is similar and part of the existing character of the site and the existing character of the area. So it really is very well suited, one might say particularly suited for this particular property, because, again, we've got the Novak Motors property adjacent to the west. This is one that's obviously associated with a vehicle use, as it's associated with the proposal. And then we have the old Harley-Davidson property to the east. And so it's really part of an area that is in some way or another associated with cars. And so we're able to propose this use without deviating from it. As far as the purposes of municipal land use law, I think there are three that are supported by this proposal. The first one is obviously purpose A, which is to encourage municipal action to guide the appropriate use or development of all lands in the state in a manner which will promote the public health, safety, morals, and general welfare. And so, as I said, I find that this proposal, the proposed use, is particularly suited for this particular property. However, I think we also meet purpose G, which is to provide sufficient space in appropriate locations for a variety of uses, including commercial, according to respective environmental requirements and in order to meet the needs of all New Jersey citizens. And so this purpose G, I think we support that because we're able to find a use, an auto-oriented or auto-associated use in an area that already hosts these particular uses. And so we're able to utilize this existing character and do so in a way that doesn't create, as you'll hear in a minute, doesn't create a negative impact on the township's zoning or on the surrounding properties and the public. And lastly, as far as the purposes go, I think we also meet purpose M, and that is to encourage coordination of the various public and private procedures and activities shaping land development with a view of lessening the cost of such development and more efficient use of land. And I say that because we're able to utilize an existing property, make use of all of the existing improvements. And that's really important because not only does it lead to a more productive use of this underutilized property, but it also means that we're able to do so without, with reduced energy. And I say that because we're not taking down building, we're not building a building. And so that's literally less energy put into the site and less energy for the manufacturing of the building materials that might otherwise be needed if we were going to be engaging in new construction. And so that's the positive criteria. Next, I want to talk about the negative criteria, and so that's, of course, whether the proposal will create a substantial detriment to the public good, whether it will create a substantial detriment to the zone plan and the zoning ordinance, and then I'm also going to talk about the enhanced quality of proof via the Medici case. One note about this, when we talk about negative criteria, it's easy to think about any negative impact that might occur from the proposal, but that's really not quite the criteria in the municipal land use law. It's whether or not it creates substantial detriment. And so we're talking about some negative impact that has a significant consequence of sorts. And as I go through the negative criteria, I actually want to reference a number of the photographs that I think were just handed out by Mr. Dilt.
Exhibit A2.
A2? Thank you.
I have copies that just...
Oh, I'm sorry. They're about to be handed out.
They're about to be handed out. A2, just so the board understands, there's...
Photograph exhibit consisting of a number of photographs.
Yes, but I want to point out that the photos on page 3 and 4, and perhaps the top one on 5, are really of the other property that's not really the subject of tonight's hearing. We had everything in there. We won't dwell on
that. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sure. So before I launch into the particular talking points for the negative criteria, let's just walk through these photographs, because I think it's important for understanding the site and the context of the area so that you can get a sense about how the negative criteria applies to the property. So if you will, I'll just walk folks through, looking at page 1, first page after the cover. And the first two photographs here are perhaps, first couple pages really, are perhaps some of the most relevant. And so this first photograph, top of page 1, is of the site entrance along the western driveway from Route 22. So if you stand literally at the site's entrance from 22 and look straight into the property, this is what you'll see. And one of the things that's evident from this photograph is that as well as some of the others, is that the site is quite screened. I mean, obviously you're going to get a clear view into the property along the driveway, but you can see on either side of the driveway there's substantial vegetation that provides screening of the existing western building and of the parking area on the pavement and the stone lot that we just spent quite a bit of time talking about, which is going to be the area where vehicle storage takes place. The second picture on page 1, the bottom picture, is of the existing Racewell building. This is the existing western building that the proposal will utilize roughly one-third of. So the portion of the building nearest in the photograph is the portion that will be utilized. If you turn the page to page 2, you see a photograph at the top. Labeled it a painting station. It is a photo station, which I attempted to cross out on everybody's copy. I hope I did that.
You did.
Sorry about that. For anybody that might be suspect, if you look at the photograph, I think it's very clear that this is not an area for painting a vehicle. It's intended for photography. So sorry, that was just a stupid mistake that, of course, I caught sitting in the audience. But nonetheless, so that's the photo station that was referenced by folks earlier. The photograph at the bottom of page 2 is this parking area, the staging area that we've been spending so much time on, this area that can host roughly 125 cars and where the storage will take place.
Now, anytime you get to the other building or the other property, just tell us to cross them out.
Will do. And so that begins the cross out then. You can cross out all of page 3, all of page 4. The top photograph on page 5, this is all portions of lot 35. The bottom of page 5 is the existing sign along the Route 22 corridor. As was testified to, there are no changes currently proposed to the sign. It's well understood that if we do want to put a Novak Motors sign up, we'll have to come back before the board to request approval. If you turn the page to page 6, The top picture on page 6 is of the eastern driveway, and so you can just cross that out. And the bottom of page 6...
That's the eastern one, the tractor trailer's building.
Western driveway. I'm sorry, I misread my own copy. It's another photograph of the western driveway. Importantly, in this photograph, similar to the first photo that we discussed, you can see the screening that's along the site here. And so those trees at the top of page 6 are the very trees and the vegetation that will prevent motorists from getting a clear view of the up to 125 vehicles parked on the property. And then on the bottom of page 6, you can see a portion of the site that we're referring to this evening from across the street along Route 22. And so in the background, you can see the eastern building and the home, which we're not discussing this evening. But to the left of that, you can see a continuation of the vegetation along Route 22 that's going to serve as the screening for that parking area. And so those would be the photographs of the site. And if you keep these in mind as I walk through the negative criteria, I think it'll be helpful to I think it'll be helpful for folks. So first, for the negative criteria, I want to address the public good. So again, the question is whether or not the proposed use will create a substantial detriment to the public good. And honestly, I don't think it does. And I say that in part because this proposed use really has no visual impact on the public. We're not here talking about a proposed sign. We're not talking about clearing any of that vegetation. So all of those trees and shrubs that currently screen the parking area are going to continue to be in place. We're also not proposing to change the character of the site or the character of the area. So that which currently exists will remain, although there will certainly be some impacts from tractor trailer delivery or car deliveries and other traffic to and from the property, but it's not a significant traffic impact. As I said, this is not a site that's open to public where there are going to be a ton of folks coming to view cars 6 days a week for potential purchase. Instead, this is something that I might refer to as an industry processing facility. This is not a public car dealership that has the lights and the traffic associated with those typical uses. And again, as I said, we're not changing the character, and this is another use that will actually complement some of the existing buildings in the area, thinking, of course, most particularly of the Novak Movers property, which is adjacent. For the second prong of the negative criteria, that's, of course, whether or not this proposed use creates a substantial detriment to the zone plan and the zoning ordinance. And I'd argue that it doesn't, and I say that for a few reasons. First, converting this property, which is less than 6 acres, is not going to have the effect of undermining the zone district. So the C2 district is, this particular area of the C2 district is several times larger than the proposed property. As I said, we're at 5.57 acres. The C2 district is several times that size. I haven't done a calculation of it, but it's got to be at least 60 acres. In size, at least. And so this is not serving to undermine the basis of the C2 district. In addition to that, I also think that we're supported by a few different goals of your master plan. So there are a few goals referenced. First, let me look to the planning report issued by your planner. He references two master plan goals from the 2006 land use element, which I'd like to address. The first is...
Which page are you on, please?
I'm sorry. It's page 4 down at the bottom under the master plan section. He references goal number 1, or the first goal listed, I should say, is to provide for a reasonable balance among land uses, among various land uses. And I think that we support that because we're continuing a concentration of commercial uses within a commercial area, and we're also creating... a low-intensity, low-visual impact, if you will, cluster of auto-associated uses. And so we're able to provide for auto-associated uses in a way that does not have the typical negative impacts of such uses. The second master plan goal listed is to provide for desirable non-residential development in appropriate areas of the township that will complement the existing character of the community and which will aid in broadening the local tax base. I think we're entirely consistent with that. I say that because we're, as I said a number of times tonight, we're continuing this existing character. We're not deviating from it. And by bringing additional life to this existing property, we're going to be able to enhance the area and enhance the local tax base by bringing more productivity to an existing developed property. In addition to these two master plan goals, which are from your 2006 land use element, there are also several goals listed in your 2015 reexamination report, which I think actually referenced your 2005 master plan. And there are two other goals that I think that we're consistent with that are listed in that most recent document. The first is to address continued growth in traffic on major highway corridors and local roads while maintaining the character of the roadway. And I think we're able to do that because we're bringing additional productivity and life to an existing property without adding to significant traffic along Route 22. And I say that because of the nature of not having a public commercial use that's going to be generating quite a bit of traffic demand to and from the property. And, of course, we're maintaining the character of the roadway. And then lastly, for the master plan goal, is to maintain a stable economy and a favorable property tax base despite limited growth in non-residential development. And I think we're supportive of that, too, because we're obviously adding new life or additional life to an existing developed property, adding to the local tax base, and doing so in a way that doesn't require an expansion of your non-residential districts and is, again, just simply continuing that existing character and really building upon what's already in this section of Route 22. And then last but not least, I know you're so close, I've got to address the Medici criteria. Otherwise, I think John would get mad at me. So, of course, you know, Medici criteria requires that we reconcile the proposed use with the master plan. And at the end of the day, I would never expect Clinton Townships or any other master plan to address this particular use. First, when we think about auto uses, I think most folks talk about auto sales and service. And this really isn't either. It's sort of it's a little bit of both, but it's not the typical service, it's not the chemical uses, and it's not auto sales with all the lights and the retail traffic. Instead, this is really a unique property, a unique use, and we've really found a very unique property to do it upon. We're able to again, just take an existing cluster of auto-associated uses and be able to build upon it without creating the typical negative impacts. So with that, my testimony is complete.
Thank you.
But I'm here for questions.
I have a couple. Does anyone else want to go first?
Go ahead.
Okay. So with general purpose A, mm-hmm. is to promote the public health, safety, morals, and general welfare. Is there anyone other than the applicant whose health, safety, and morals are improved by this application?
And whom
would that be?
The way that this particular purpose is used in the D1 criteria is really about the community as a whole being well served, the community's health, safety, morals, and very general welfare being served by having uses that are having proposed uses which are, I always mix up my P's, having a property which is particularly suited for the proposed use. So being able to take a particular use and put it on exactly the right property, which frankly is what's necessary for the D criteria, is something that serves the entire community. And so that's why I'm able to reference purpose A. It's not because I'm here to tell you guys that all of your morals are going to be uplifted by the proposal.
Can I ask the question a different way? Is anyone better off than the applicant by approving this?
I think the community is better off because we're able to bring a property, really back to life, one that hasn't been fully utilized in years, and we're able to bring it back into the tax base.
And that was my second question, because we're not making any changes to the property. How does the tax base change? So presumably the property is assessed the same after as before because we haven't changed anything. Mm-hmm. How would the tax base be improved?
I don't mean improvements that are inside a building.
Yeah, I mean, in part, the building itself, the inside of the building is going to be improved. Perhaps already has been improved as a result of the applicant getting in there a little bit early, if we will. But, for example, you saw the interior photograph with the photo booth, and so that's an improvement to the site. It's bringing additional revenue to the property, which
assessment will go up. And therefore, the tax base will go up?
It's possible, but I don't want to. I'm a little wary of stepping on your tax assessor's toes. I don't know if he's actually.
I don't know
what his plans
are. Going off
be.
Your claim that we're increasing the tax base.
I mean, ultimately, creating activity along a highway corridor and making it more productive in general, making it more of a a business destination can have outward effects. I mean, you see it all the time as if you think about a more typical situation where you have an anchor store that goes into a retail center.
Retail, then, no question. I think that's a clear case. But here the argument is no customers will be on site. It's not a destination for, I think I heard, four employees. It's the destination for a maximum of four. So I have a couple of those, but I'll let someone else go off on it. Tom Behrens, I don't know if you have any questions.
Just to provide an overview, you heard a pretty thorough planning overview. Really, it comes down to the context of the site and the site suitability, as we've heard. It's a developed site. It had a former auto use. It's bound by two highways. It has the Novak Motors to the west and the Harley-Davidson to the east. Certainly, Mr. Chairman, you brought up some good points, and I think it boils down to what are the impacts? How can these impacts be mitigated in terms of trucks visiting the site? Is it well buffered so as to preserve the character, which the master plan also talks about and seeks to? And that's part of why it discourages certain types of auto uses, because it doesn't want to give that look and feel of having auto uses dominate the landscape. But in this case, they might be said to be well buffered here. So those are the general themes that I think the board needs to think about in terms of...
I was asking if you had any questions for the...
Not specifically to her.
I wasn't asking you to testify. I was just asking.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair.
Okay. I just have one more comment. I don't want to speak for anyone else. I don't have any... Maybe I'm kind of jumping ahead. I don't have a problem with the negative criteria here, but it's the positive I'm struggling with a little bit, what the upsides are here. And it's not obvious to me that a historical use continuing, if it were one that were not currently permitted, is weighs on the positive side there. So I'm just offering up before we get to deliberation there. And I was looking at the ordinances. It's not as though the township said, oh, let's put everything car-related in this area.
Right.
It's specifically not one of the uses listed there. So... anyway, that wasn't a question, just an observation before we get to deliberation. Does anyone else have questions for the applicant?
I have thoughts about what you're talking about, but no questions.
Okay. So last call, any questions from anyone in the public, and then I'll give you a chance if you want to sum up before we go into deliberation.
What should I do? Excuse me, George.
Sure. Go ahead.
Policing, security. I meant to mention this before. Is there any... form of security, there's no lights, anything. Does township police have the right to enter?
So any lights that are on the building were pre-existing. I think there is some sort of a nightlight off the building, but it's a wattage. There's a gate that we lock. That's our security. There's no cameras, anything on site.
Right, but there's no fence around it. And
no, sir.
And you've been in operation for maybe how long?
End of 17.
End of 17, wow. And you haven't had any police incidents?
No one knew it. I do have one question.
Sure.
Sorry, one question. I think it's quick. Do you have any plans to increase the employees that would be on this site?
Not at this time.
Okay.
And very, very quickly, I just want to jump back to the concern the board has with the area of parking. I think we can safely say we will not use the light gray area that's all the way to the east of the property, that the staging of the maximum of 125 cars would be in the light gray area there. We can certainly put, if you want, a post in three of the corners so that we don't go beyond those limitations. If that were a condition, but we're happy to say that this gray square area just to the east of the big building is the area we're referring to.
So you're putting three concrete posts and one flush mounted monument.
Can you flush mount one of them to to grade?
I guess we can. The concern is when the tractor trailers turn around, but we put a flush mount of that combined. We can do that.
Yes.
If that freezes the board.
Okay.
And I know my time is up. I don't think I need to summarize anything. I think the proposed use is out there. It's stacking, staging,
There was another term that was used, I call it staging.
Staging area.
Yep, and I'm not going to find it quickly. So we can limit the number of cars. We're not going to change anything. If we ever do want to do more to the property, which eventually they would like to buy both of these properties, which would probably improve, and then we'll have to come back. And again, we hear you loud and clear with some of your concerns. I think that covered her area, significantly and without an issue. So, again, there's no general sales or service, no public, and I would appreciate an affirmative vote. Thanks very much.
Okay. And, Mr., I just want to add one thing. The standard for the D1 use variance, I want to focus on the positive criteria, okay? In the Medici case, the Supreme Court said, listen, in a non-inherently beneficial use case, and this is a non-inherently beneficial use, it's a typical commercial use. The benefit to the general welfare from a non-inherently beneficial use derives not from the use itself, but from the development of a site in the community that is particularly suited for the very enterprise proposed. So although the applicant has suggested that there are some purposes of zoning that are being advanced, they don't really have to do that. The key is, in a typical non-inherently beneficial use, the standard the board must employ to determine whether special reasons have been proven is whether the proposed use will promote the general welfare by having the site being particularly suited for the use. So I'm not advocating for one way or the other, but the testimony was that this site is particularly suited because historically it was an auto-related use. It's surrounded by auto-related uses, but this particular proposed auto-related use is less intensive than the typical auto-related uses, and therefore that's why it's particularly suited. So that's how I suggest to the board view the positive criterion, what has to be proved for a D1 use variance.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Observation.
Okay. So, first of all, I as far as the various different aspects to look at, I don't care historically that it was used for automotive purposes, and I think you had mentioned something to that effect. If it's no longer an approved use. However, I do agree with the applicant that it's particularly suited to it, especially considering the fact that really there are no negative impacts. In fact, they've been doing it since 2017 until at some point they had to cease without anybody really noticing, which I think speaks to the fact that, it's pretty unintrusive what they're doing there. And as far as, promoting the master plan and as far as promoting the general welfare, which is one of the aspects along with morals and everything else, I can't imagine that the master plan would say, when it was being constructed, that they would have envisioned saying that it would be better to leave a property disused rather than use it for something that doesn't increase ratables and things like that, as long as it meets the other criteria of being particularly suited for the use. And since I think it is particularly suited for the use, I think this makes sense.
So you're in favor of the application?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? John?
Okay, I went back and read the actual master plan for 2006, and then I went back to the 2000 master plan, which has about the same words in it. And what that's saying is, the C1 and C2 districts occupy a large part of the frontage on Routes 21 and 22. These districts are the only retail commercial districts in the township, and thus have a unique importance in addressing the retail commercial needs for the township's residents now and in the future. While located on state highways, these districts offer attractive locations